Vikatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Vikatra AI. Welcome to the deep dive.
Today we are focusing on, one of the most stressful experiences we all go through, right? Being new.
Oh, absolutely. That feeling, walking into a new job, a new team, even just a new social group. It's universally awkward, isn't it?
Totally paralyzing sometimes.
Yeah.
You feel like the outsider, the one who doesn't have the map, you know?
Exactly. And most people, let's be honest, handle it pretty poorly. We get anxious, maybe feel like an imposter.
Yeah, imposter syndrome kicks in hard.
Right. And we often just try to survive, kind of hoping things will work out instead of having a real strategy. Rolug calls that the sink or swim approach. And, well, it's just not efficient.
Which is why we're diving into Keith Rolug's book, What to Do When You're New. It's basically a systematic guide, a playbook, really, for turning that sinking feeling into a set of skills.
Mm-hmm. Skills you can learn.
The core idea he presents right off the bat is that getting integrated successfully isn't about, you know, just being naturally charming or getting lucky.
It's strategic.
It's strategic. It's a learnable skill set involving specific tools and, crucially, a shift in mindset. It's about engineering your own welcome. In a way.
Okay, so let's talk about the person behind this playbook, who is Keith Rolug. What gives him the authority to sort of decode this experience?
Well, Rolug is a professor of management at Babson College. Mm-hmm. He was dean there too. Babson's really known for its focus on entrepreneurship, practical business skills.
Okay, so a business background.
Yes, but interestingly, his foundation is actually quite analytical. He holds a PhD in industrial engineering from Stanford.
Industrial engineering, yeah. That's unexpected. How does that connect?
It brings a different lens, right?
Hey.
Systems, processes, efficiency applied to human interaction and organizational behavior. His focus wasn't just business theory. It was the mechanics of how people fit into systems.
So less generic advice, more data-driven analysis of social integration.
Precisely. His expertise comes from over 20 years of research. Specifically on what academics call newcomer socialization. He studied thousands of people, interviewed them, looked at the data on what actually works when you're new.
So he's moving past the usual just be yourself kind of advice.
Way past. He provides a framework that's backed by research, something actionable. It combines that analytical rigor with real-world business sense.
That sounds incredibly useful. And who's this really for? Is it just for people starting corporate jobs?
Oh, it's much broader than that. I mean, yes, definitely for recent grads or people switching careers midstream. But think about freelancers joining a project team.
Or students starting university.
Exactly. Or even just moving to a new town trying to figure out the community. Anytime you're the outsider needing to understand the environment and build connections quickly, this applies.
I like that it starts by acknowledging how tough it is. It validates those feelings, you know, the imposter syndrome, the social anxiety.
Yeah, that pressure to prove yourself immediately. It meets you where you are in that often vulnerable state.
But it doesn't leave you there.
No, not at all. It quickly shifts the perspective. Instead of being passive, just hoping people will accept you, it turns you into a proactive architect of your own integration. You're not waiting. You're building.
Taking control. So it's partly psychological, managing the anxiety and the cognitive overload of being new.
Right, because it is mentally taxing.
And partly very tactical. Like, here are the actual things to say and do, scripts, frameworks.
Exactly, which leads right into his diagnosis of why most of us aren't great at being new. We rely on instincts, and often they're flawed.
Okay, let's unpack those flawed instincts. I have a feeling we'll recognize ourselves here.
Almost certainly. He sees two main pitfalls. The first is being too passive.
Just waiting.
Yeah, waiting for the official onboarding, waiting for someone to invite you to lunch, waiting for people to approach you. You kind of fade into the background hoping acceptance just happens.
Which it often doesn't or takes way too long. What's the other extreme?
Being too aggressive. This is the newcomer who tries too hard too fast.
Trying to prove their worth immediately.
Exactly. Maybe they're too loud in meetings, or they start correcting experienced colleagues in their first week, or suggesting huge changes before they even understand why things are done the way they are.
Right. Stepping on toes, creating friction.
Mm-hmm. It backfires. So the key idea Rolug pushes is that being new is this temporary state, and your job is to actively manage it, to shorten it. You need to shift from passive or overly aggressive to proactive and strategic.
And the first step in that strategy involves something we do constantly, introductions.
Yeah, and we usually mess it up, don't we? That weak handshake, the mumbled, hi, I'm Sarah, I'm new here, it's completely forgettable.
A blank billboard, as he calls it. So what should be on that billboard?
He proposes the 5-second introduction. It's got three parts: who you are, what you do, and the critical piece.
A hook.
A hook. Okay, explain that. How do you do that without sounding, I don't know, try hard? That's a fair question. The key is that the hook should be low stakes, conversational. It's not about bragging. It's about inviting a response, creating an opening for connection.
So not, I'm Bob, the new VP, and I quadrupled profits at my last company.
Definitely not. More like, I'm Bob, I just joined the finance team, still trying to figure out the coffee machine situation here, any tips? Or, I'm Maria, new on the design project, I actually just moved here from Austin, so I'm exploring the city.
I see. It gives the other person something easy and specific to latch onto. A coffee tip, a question about Austin.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it relational, not just transactional.
Precisely. It opens the door. And speaking of relational things, another huge anxiety point is names, forgetting them.
Oh, the worst feeling, that awkward moment when you blank.
We've all been there. Rolig stresses that remembering names is a powerful signal of respect. And importantly, it's a learnable skill, not some innate talent.
Okay, so how do we learn it? What's the technique?
He calls it meet, repeat, cement. Simple, but deliberate. First, meet the person, hear their name, then immediately repeat it in conversation. Great to meet you, David.
Using it right away.
Yes. Then try to cement it. Link the name to something, a visual feature, something they said where you met them. Maybe David has distinct glasses or mentioned loving hiking. Finally, use the name again when you part ways. Talk soon, David.
Meet, repeat, cement. It forces active recall. I like that. Okay, let's tackle what feels like the biggest hurdle, asking for help. We hate looking incompetent, right?
Absolutely. It feels like admitting weakness, especially when you're new and want to impress. But Rolig flips this completely. He argues asking for help strategically is actually a strength, a newcomer superpower.
A superpower. Oh.
Because of what he calls the humble request. When you approach someone more experienced, not with a basic question, but asking for their expertise or insight on something specific.
You're flattering them.
Exactly. You're showing respect for their knowledge. It makes them feel valued, positions them as a potential mentor or ally, and builds immediate rapport. It turns a stranger into someone invested, however slightly, in your success.
That's a brilliant reframe. But there's a catch, right? You can't just ask anything.
Right. Crucial distinction here. You have to avoid the dumb questions.
Things you could easily look up yourself.
Mm-hmm. Like, where's the supply closet? Or, how do I log into the timesheet system? Asking those does make you look unprepared or lazy.
So what are the smart questions?
They're questions that seek insight, context, opinions, or understanding about the unwritten rules, the culture, things that aren't in the manual.
Like, I saw the team handled that client issue in a really interesting way. Could you give me some background on how that approach developed? Or, what's the best way to navigate getting feedback from different stakeholders here?
Perfect examples.
Those questions show you.
You're leveraging their experience.
Okay, so you're making introductions, remembering names, asking smart questions. What about just navigating the social stuff, like lunch breaks or coffee runs? Those can feel awkward, too.
Yeah, the tendency is often to retreat, right? Mm-hmm. Eat at your desk. Keep your headphones on. But Rolig argues that unstructured time is actually critical for integration. That's where a lot of the real information gets shared, where trust is built informally.
So avoiding the break room is a mistake.
A big one. You're signaling that you're not part of the group.
Yeah.
To combat the anxiety of, say, walking into that busy lunchroom alone, he suggests creating a social game plan.
Sounds tactical. What does that involve?
It's about setting small, achievable, low-pressure goals for social interaction. Instead of the vague, stressful goal of make friends, it's more like,
today I will use my 5-second intro on one person I haven't met yet.
Exactly. Or, I will join one existing conversation in the break room and just listen, maybe add one relevant comment. It turns anxiety into a manageable task list. Small wins.
Okay, let's step back a bit. If we were to pull out the biggest overarching themes from all these tactics, what would they be?
I think the first, and maybe the most fundamental, is proactivity trumps passivity. You simply cannot afford to wait.
Waiting for onboarding, waiting for invitations.
It's just too slow, too inefficient. Your success in integrating depends on you initiating conversations, setting up those coffee chats, taking ownership of your learning curve. It's empowering, really. You're not just subject to the environment. You're shaping your experience.
That makes sense. What's theme number two?
It's that strategic information gathering, is as important as job performance, especially early on. Role lag kind of positions the newcomer as an anthropologist.
An anthropologist. I like that.
Yeah. Your primary job isn't just learning the technical parts of the role. It's decoding the culture, the norms, the unwritten rules of the place.
So every interaction, every meeting, even just observing how people interact in the hallway, it's all data gathering.
Vital data. How do decisions really get made here? Who are the key influencers, formally or informally? What's valued? You're building your understanding of the social and political landscape, which is just as critical as technical skill.
Okay, and the third theme ties the tactics together.
Yes, it's that small, consistent actions create compound interest.
Ah, so it's not about grand gestures.
Not at all. It's the cumulative effect of those seemingly small things. The good introduction, remembering the name, the well-framed humble request, showing up for the coffee break. Each one is a small deposit in the relationship bank. Over time, these consistent low-risk actions build significant trust, rapport, and a strong network. Success is built brick by brick, interaction by interaction.
The book also has some really memorable lines that distill these ideas. Should we share a couple of those?
Definitely. They really stick with you. One that captures the power of asking for help is, a request for help is one of the most effective relationship-building tools you have. It is a sign of respect for the other person's expertise and instantly transforms a stranger into a potential ally.
That just perfectly reframes vulnerability as a strategic asset, doesn't it?
It really does. And then there's the one about introductions, highlighting preparation. Your introduction is your personal billboard. A generic, "Hi, I'm John," is a blank sign. A 5-second introduction gives people a reason to remember you and a reason to talk to you.
It makes you realize even tiny interactions matter and can be optimized.
Mm-hmm. And finally, reinforcing that proactivity point. Newcomers who wait for others to include them usually wait too long.
Oof, that's direct. Don't wait. Be the initiator. Okay, let's make this super practical. Imagine someone listening is starting a new job next week. How could they apply this stuff in week one?
Okay, week one action plan. First, commit to using that 5-second intro with everyone you meet. Seriously, everyone, don't be shy. Second, set a concrete goal. Schedule, say, 5 short 15-minute coffee chats.
Using the humble request.
Yes, using the humble request framework. Aim for people outside your immediate team to broaden your network. Ask them about team dynamics, past projects, advice for navigating the culture. Third, focus on achieving a few small wins.
Meaning?
Nail a few early visible tasks reliably. Doesn't have to be huge, just demonstrate competence and dependability quickly. Build that initial credibility.
Great. And what about a social application? Someone just moved to a new city feeling isolated.
Same principles, different context. Don't wait for neighbors to bring a casserole, right?
Yeah.
Proactively use the humble request. Ask a neighbor or someone at a local club for recommendations.
Like, hey, I'm new here, wondering if you know the best place for...
Exactly. Best local pizza, reliable plumber, a good hiking trail, the unwritten rules about street parking. You're seeking their local expertise, which is flattering, and it opens the door for connection in a low-stakes way. It turns that feeling of isolation into a mission.
What really strikes me about all this, what surprised me, is how it transforms the feeling of newness. Instead of this big, scary, uncontrollable thing, it becomes a solvable problem, a process you can manage.
Right. Having that concrete plan, those steps to take, it really does reduce the anxiety because you feel like you have some agency.
You're not just adrift.
Exactly. And I think, for me, the biggest takeaway is that successful integration isn't magic. It's a skill. It's systematic, it's learnable, and it leads to what Roleg calls earned inclusion. You build your place.
And these skills, they're not just for the first week, are they?
Not at all. They're life skills. Every time you face a transition, new project, new team, new community, you have this toolkit. It builds adaptability, resilience, and ultimately probably makes you happier and more successful in the long run.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acontra Foundation.